Hello, Dove. Hello, everyone. Yeah, it's been a week with family. My mom and stepdad were here, and also Danielle's parents were here. So we had lots of parents around this week. But the parents are gone now, and Danielle has moved in with us. She moved in yesterday, so she now lives here on West Stallion Drive in Pueblo West. And we're real happy about that. It feels very, very good having her here. We're also beginning a 3-week period of no guests. And this was actually planned. This wasn't by accident, but we knew that occasionally we would need a rest. So we're beginning a 3-week rest now with no guests. So we'll see how that goes. Originally, I thought we would be doing lots of hiking and swimming, but Jasmine's in a cast. So we won't be doing lots of hiking and swimming, but we will find ways to relax and have fun. Our next big event now is Be the Love in Virginia, and I'm really getting very excited about that. In fact, just now when I said Be the Love in Virginia, I felt butterflies in my heart. That's because I'm really excited about it. We have Nook Sanchez coming. Originally, we had Nook and Tomas. But for those of you who don't know, Tomas is having an experience with cancer. And right now it's beginning to, take its toll on the body. He's feeling more tired and the travel is a little more strenuous. So he is stepping back from traveling now. Nook is also stepping back from most of the traveling. In fact, from what I understand, Nook and Tomas have canceled all of their events where they are the only teachers, all of their workshops. But Nook is feeling to keep the commitments to conferences, at least for now. So she will be at Be the Love. She's also going to be at a conference down in, I believe it's in Louisiana in October. I don't have the details about that conference, but if anybody wants to know, I can get the details for you. Just email me. And then I didn't ask her about San Francisco, but she may be keeping that engagement as well. But it's very possible that the opportunities to see her are going to be significantly reduced, if not taken down to zero. So coming to Be the Love is a great opportunity to see Nook. And then also we're going to have Chuck Hillig there. Chuck Hillig teaches from the Ramana Maharshi teachings, so he'll be really interesting. So instead of really being a Course in Miracles conference this time, it's really going to be a Course in Miracles, NTI, and Ramana Maharshi. And in fact, in addition to me, I'm not the only one that's going to be there that teaches from NTI now. Cheryl Valentine, I'm sure you guys are aware, is teaching from NTI. And in fact, she is going to teach from NTI, as far as I know, on Sunday morning there. She's feeling very inspired. Earl Purdy will probably still be teaching from A Course in Miracles there, but he's also begun to teach from NTI. So who knows, maybe a little bit of NTI will fly out of his mouth. So Earl Purdy will be there, Cheryl Valentine, Chuck Hillig, Nook Sanchez, of course, I'll be there. Music from Donna Marie Carey. Any of you guys who know Donna Marie Carey know how exciting that is. And then also, let's see, John Mundy is going to be there. Listen to this. And then Victoria Eisner, Pamela Silverman. So maybe you can see why I'm getting excited. So that's only about a month away. Oh, and by the way, there is a kind of an incentive if you register by June 30th. You get entered in a drawing, and whoever wins the drawing will get 50% of their registration back at the conference. So, yeah, Dove just posted the link, www.bethelove.us. There are two Be the Love conferences this year, but the one I'm talking about right this second is the one in Virginia, Lynchburg, Virginia, August 6th through 8th. The other one is going to be in St. Louis, and it will have a different lineup of teachers. So I'll talk about that one closer to that time. That's in October. But yeah, if you want to go to the Virginia one, now's a really good time to sign up. There is an airport in Lynchburg. People have been asking, how do you get there? But the airport is very close to the conference center. It's actually going to be a lot easier to travel to than the one that we had in Maryland, where we were like an hour from the airport. Here we're just minutes from the airport. So there you go. So Let's see. We are here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides. And that's the time that we're going through the messages, the personal messages I've received that are posted on reginadonacres.com. We're right now in the middle of a series of messages called Be Watchful With Me from Holy Spirit about mind watching. And in fact, here is a link to the next message in that series. It's the fourth message in the Be Watchful With Me series, so you can click on that link. I gotta admit, I'm wondering what the weather is like on the East Coast, because for a Sunday teaching, there's a lot more people in the room than we usually have in the summer. This room fills up, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60 people in the winter typically when it's dark. But in the summer, we find that fewer people show up in the room. And tonight it's pretty full. You guys are saying it's hot, so you want to be in with the air conditioning. Is that why you're here? Hot and humid, they're saying. Yeah, a lot of people in the room. Pool party at Teddy's, I hear. Well, that's exciting. Okay, so let me go ahead and start with the prayer. Cause I'm getting lots of hot. It's hot everywhere, it looks like. Hot in Phoenix. Okay, so let's start with the prayer, and then we'll go and we'll look at this message. Here we are. Holy Spirit, I am, of course, grateful for your guidance. It is your guidance that takes us home. The ego is the voice that we are actually most used to listening to in the world. In fact, some of us still think it's the only voice we can hear, but that's an error. We all hear the Holy Spirit. We hear the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways. We hear the Holy Spirit in our own mind, sometimes as a prompt, for example, to not say what we were about to say. To watch that thought and let it go. We may hear it as a remembrance of a line from something like A Course in Miracles or NTI. We also hear the Holy Spirit through resources such as A Course in Miracles and NTI and teachers. We hear the Holy Spirit in so many ways, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, no matter how we hear it, has one purpose, and that is the purpose of letting go of listening to that ego voice. Listening instead to this voice, the Holy Spirit, following its guidance and returning us back to the realization of ourself, our true self. Holy Spirit, I am very grateful for your voice and all of the different ways that it comes to us. And I am grateful for this series that we're looking at now, this series of personal messages called Be Watchful With Me, because they are very direct and very clear and very helpful. So I don't know what we're going to see tonight as we look at the next message, but Holy Spirit, thank you in advance for whatever it is. Let us hear so that whatever is most helpful to each of us may be heard. Amen. All right. So I gave you the link. I don't know if anybody else has come in the room, but just to be safe, here's the link again. And the name of the message that we're going to look at is Be Watchful With Me, Part 4. Be Watchful With Me, Part 4. Mind Watching Through Pain. Mind Watching Through Pain. All right, here we go. Pain brings up fear. Pain is the manifestation of fear. To surrender to pain, to believe it, and let it be your master, is to accept fear as reality. This is why you need not accept pain. Fear isn't your reality, nor is pain. Now, first of all, the pain that I feel Holy Spirit is talking about here, mostly in talking to me, was what I would call some type of emotional pain, some type of emotional suffering, maybe agonizing over something that I feel like I don't have, for example, some type of loss or lack, maybe the pain of grievance, the pain of hatred, the pain of frustration, the type of pain that is more emotional in nature, rather than, you know, the physical pain one might notice if they have a fractured ankle. not that that type of pain isn't also caused by fear, but I really feel Holy Spirit was talking to me about emotional pain, because that's the type of pain that I experienced. I don't remember experiencing a lot of physical pain, except for headaches maybe. Also, I would like to point out that Holy Spirit says that I need not accept pain. Holy Spirit is not asking me to resist pain. Here, accept means believe. I need not believe my emotional pain. You know, until I was taught not to believe my emotional pain, I did believe my emotional pain, and I never once questioned it. You know, for example, if I had the thought, I wouldn't even have recognized it as a thought. I mean, if I just felt like I hated this person that I worked with, for example, I had the experience of hating that person. I had the emotional pain of whenever I knew I was going to have to face that person in a meeting. And I never would have even thought to question, you know, that idea of hate. I mean, to me, it was a fact. I believed I hated this person, and I believed that that pain was just a part of knowing them, a part of having to interact with them. And so when Holy Spirit is telling me that I need not accept pain, he's not really talking about acceptance versus resistance. He's talking about acceptance as belief, believing rather than questioning. So notice again, he says pain brings up fear. Pain is the manifestation of fear. To surrender to pain, to believe it and let it be your master, is to accept fear as reality. This is why you need not accept pain. Fear isn't your reality, nor is your pain. So what he's really saying to me then is, if I'm suffering the emotional pain of having to face a particular person in a meeting, for example, I don't need to just accept that as reality, as the reality of the circumstance. Instead, what I can do is I can question the thoughts in my mind. I can be willing to see things differently. I can start questioning this experience. Does it need to be here? And the answer, of course, is that it doesn't. It doesn't need to be here. You know, one thing that I came to recognize is that you know, the Holy Spirit says pain brings up fear. One thing I came to recognize is that I feared most the people I had grievances against, or the people I had judged in my own mind. I learned this later. But if there's anyone that you're uncomfortable facing, you might begin to watch your own mind and notice how often you judge or how much of a grievance you hold against that person. Because what's actually happening is that your judgment, ultimately, is the cause of your fear. Your judgment is the cause of your fear. You wouldn't fear facing a person if you were completely open within your own mind towards that person. So eventually I learned that, but I didn't know that in the beginning. I thought that I hated and feared someone because they were awful. I didn't realize it was my own judgments that were causing me the pain and the fear. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on to the second paragraph. Holy Spirit says, there is nothing more convincing than pain to teach you that you are nothing but mere victim, little, separated, nothing, and powerless. That's pretty descriptive. But maybe some of us can remember, if not all of us can remember right now, times when facing a particular person, for example, or facing a particular situation made us feel just that, like mere victim, little, separated, nothing, and powerless, right? This is what emotional pain can do. There is nothing more convincing than pain to teach that you are nothing but mere victim. Little, separated, nothing, and powerless. If you will listen to your pain carefully, you will hear. This is what it teaches. You will also notice a strong willingness to surrender to your pain and to accept all that it teaches as real. So again, if we can just imagine a situation where we've had a lot of emotional pain, it could be anything. It could be the fear of going outside of our own house. I have friends who have that fear. The fear of going outside of our own house. The fear of facing a particular person. The fear of, facing a particular circumstance. When you're going through a lot of emotional pain, if you are just believing that pain, that's what he means by surrender and accept in this particular message. If you are just believing that pain, then you're totally accepting separation as real. This is why you are feeling victim, little, separated, nothing, and powerless. And what Holy Spirit wants us to do, first of all, is notice what's happening. Because, again, this is a series on mind watching. And until most of us are taught about mind watching, what happens is we are just believing our emotional pain. We are just believing our emotional pain. And what Spirit wants us to do is begin to question it. And the first thing he wants us to do is notice what it's teaching you. Because if we're on this path, we know that we have a purpose of letting go of separation. At least intellectually, we have learned that. We know that we have a purpose of letting go of the belief in separation. What we aren't maybe aware of is how we go about continually believing separation. You know, you can't let go of it and continue to believe it too, right? So we need to start noticing, how do I continue to believe in separation? And one way is by believing our emotional pain, by believing what it's telling us. So again, this paragraph says, there is nothing more convincing than pain to teach that you are nothing but mere victim, little, separated, nothing, and powerless. If you will listen to your pain carefully, you will hear this is what it teaches. You will also notice a strong willingness to surrender to your pain and to accept all that it teaches as real. This thought is to accept separation as real. This thought is pain, which is why believing pain manifests as more pain. The thought that is pain has been accepted, and so the effects of this acceptance must be experienced. So, just another little interesting bit of information is that we're never going to be free this way. We're never going to be free by continuing to believe our emotional pain. First of all, we all know the emotional pain is not fun. We're not happy when we're suffering from emotional pain. But secondly, every time we just blindly believe it again, we set ourselves up for more emotional pain. Because by believing our pain, we are believing the thought of separation. And it's the thought of separation that causes pain. So, not only is it against our purpose of letting go of the thought of separation, the belief in separation, not only does believing our pain go against that purpose, but it also results in more pain. So really, he's kind of given us two reasons why we might want to stop and question pain instead of just believing it. Now, I notice Barbara has said this strong willingness is not coming from the heart, and she's absolutely correct. This is not the strong willingness that comes from the heart. But if you're ever in a strong emotional pain, you will know that there is a strong pull, a strong willingness within us to believe it. In fact, what it actually takes is a willingness, you could say, of the opposite purpose in order to counteract it, because there's such a strong willingness within us to believe our emotional pain. It takes a strong willingness not to believe it in order to choose to rest, accept, and trust, for example, if that's the practice we're going to use, not to believe it. And the reason it takes a strong willingness not to believe it is because the strong willingness that's already in place to believe it. All right, I'm going to continue. Holy Spirit says, let's look at a time of pain now. When a time of pain comes about, there is an immediate desire to surrender to it. And again, in this particular message, surrender means totally believe it. You know, kind of like a slave would surrender to its master. Just totally believe the pain. Become its slave, right? Have no separate thinking of my own, which in this case, the separate thinking would come from Holy Spirit. To have no separate thinking of my own, but to just believe the pain. Let's look at a time of pain now. When a time of pain comes about, there is an immediate desire to surrender to it. This immediate desire must be seen in the mind, because this is the point where the belief in separation is seen and accepted as real. So, when I have an emotional pain because of any circumstance, what automatically happens, because we're used to listening to the ego, because that's our habit, what automatically happens is I want to believe the pain, and then I want to do whatever, you know, my mind is telling me I must do in order to lessen the pain. But that doing comes from the belief. For example, if my pain is a fear of financial lack, the doing may be to try and get money somehow. If the pain is coming from, I'm in a relationship and someone is attempting to break up with me, for example, the doing may be trying to convince them to stay. It's hard for me to think of examples now, actually, because I don't really suffer from emotional pain like I once did. But I remember, you know, back when Ron and I had plans to get married, and I could tell that he was beginning to get what we call cold feet, and he didn't want to get married. I can tell you that the emotional pain that I was suffering from, what it wanted me to do was talk him into marrying me somehow, or talk him into some type of a live-in situation that was almost married, or, you know, it told me I needed him, I needed that circumstance that I was promised with him, and the emotional pain wanted me to make it happen. What the Holy Spirit wanted me to do was allow Ron to make his choices and learn the process of forgiveness. It wanted me to do nothing to try and get Ron to change his mind. So you see, the pain had its own desire. And that's what Spirit is asking us to stop and notice. Whenever we're in emotional pain, and as I look through the room, I'm not going to bring out specific examples, but I know some of you, because you write to me, and I know some of your emotional pain, some of your stories, I'll say, and I know your temptations. And I know that if you look, you know what your temptations are. You know how you want to stop this circumstance or make this circumstance happen or change that circumstance. And this is what Holy Spirit is talking about. He wants us to stop and notice that desire to do something that comes out of our pain. He says, because this is the point. If we follow that desire, this is the point where we are re-believing again separation. So if we take actions to stop this from happening, or take actions to make this happen, or take actions to change that, we are simultaneously believing the thought of separation. And again, you cannot let go of the belief in separation and believe it too, right? So he wants us to notice how we're believing it. So again, he says, when a time of pain comes upon you, you must observe your thoughts through the pain. Oops, I don't think I read that paragraph yet. Have I? Let's go up a paragraph. I want to review what I just read. Let's look at a time of pain now. When a time of pain comes about, there is an immediate desire to surrender to it, to become its slave. This immediate desire must be seen in the mind, because this is the point where the belief in separation is seen and accepted as real. When a time of pain comes upon you, you must observe your thoughts through the pain without believing them. See the thought to surrender to the pain, or see the thought to become pain's slave and do whatever it tells you to do. That's Ron now. See the thought to surrender to the pain, but remember you are not separate and need not surrender to that which teaches separateness. Now, I remember doing this. I remember, again, for me, one of my big pains in this process has been what I'm going to call fear of lack. You know, more specifically, fear of, you know, financially not having what I need to survive for both me and my daughter. So I remember a few times when this emotional pain hit, this emotional pain that came from the belief in lack. And I remember my mind making a myriad of suggestions of what I could do to stop this impending disaster. The disaster was never specific, but just somehow impending disaster, if that flow of money, some certainty of a flow of money was not put in place. And so what I did when this fear would come upon me is I would do exactly what Holy Spirit is suggesting here. I would see my strong desire, my strong willingness to do what the mind was asking me to do. You know, start, in my case, maybe charging for counseling, for example, right? When people call me, tell them it costs this much to talk to me. Or run out and, you know, get a real job. Something, you know, with a paycheck and health insurance and all of that kind of stuff. I would see whatever my mind was telling me to do. But I would also recognize very clearly that that desire was the belief in separation. And in fact, it wasn't hard for me to see that, because I could see that what my mind was telling me is it was up to me, Regina, to make money to take care of Jasmine and me. It was up to me. There was no God, no oneness, no connection that was going to take care of this for me, right? It was up to me. And I knew that that was a belief in separation. At the same time, I had guidance, and I do want to emphasize that this was guidance, because not everyone's guidance is the same as mine, but I had guidance to continue to do. In effect, Holy Spirit had given me a job. It's not like I didn't have a job. Holy Spirit had given me a job. I was writing NTI, teaching on Pal Talk, doing counseling over the phone, right? All of these things, this was my job. And my guidance was just to keep doing my job as Holy Spirit gave it to me, and to trust that I was being provided for. But the emotional pain said, no, no, no. So you see, the emotional pain was teaching separation. There's nothing out there that's going to take care of you, Regina. You've got to take care of yourself. My guidance was keep doing what you're guided to do and trust. So it was very clear which voice was teaching separation, right? Very clear. So what I had to decide to do, and this was a conscious decision, was not listen to the voice that was teaching separation. And I'm not going to say it was easy for me. And I am going to say it was easy for me, because it was kind of both. It wasn't easy for me because there was a lot of emotional pain and a lot of fear. It was easy for me because I knew it was the only decision I wanted to make. Does that make sense? It was like, I felt like if I didn't follow my guidance in my case, that somehow I was ripping myself off. I knew that I wanted to learn that separation was not true. I knew that I wanted to learn that God was real. And I knew that my guidance was given to me for that purpose, right? So I had a strong willingness, which counteracted that strong willingness to listen to fear. The strong willingness to listen to fear showed up, but I had a strong willingness to learn that only the truth is true. And that strong willingness to learn that only the truth is true allowed me to not listen to my fear, to not become a slave to my emotional pain. So again, back to this paragraph. When a time of pain comes upon you, you must observe your thoughts through the pain without believing them. See the thought to surrender to the pain, but remember, you are not separate and need not surrender to that which teaches separateness. Pay attention, careful attention, to other thoughts that rise through the pain. So here's some of what pain is teaching. Maybe not with these exact words, but with some kind of story, right? Pain is teaching, I am victim. Pain is teaching, I am afraid. Something is wrong with me. There is no God. I hate myself. There is only loss. Now again, the ego might say some of these sentences directly. It might not. It might just have a story. And if you're believing the story and listening to the story, this is what's really being communicated, you know, subliminally, right? So he says, watch your mind. Watch. Watch for these ideas that the emotional pain is teaching. Be smart, right? Be smart. Don't just believe it. Look at what it's teaching and ask. Ask yourself, is it my purpose to learn these messages? Or is there something else I want to learn? And like I said, what enabled me to not listen to my emotional pain was because there was something else I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn that the truth was true. I wanted to learn there is a God. I wanted to learn we are one, right? And the pain was teaching something different. So when I looked closely at what the pain was teaching, I knew I didn't want to listen to it, because to listen to it would be to learn its message. Again, the pain says, I am victim. I am afraid. Something is wrong with me. There is no God. I hate myself. There is only loss. So the real question is, are these the messages we want to learn? Holy Spirit continues, watch the thoughts that arise and remain aware that you need not accept these thoughts. In observing the thoughts that come up through the pain, without slipping into accepting the thoughts, you release many false thoughts from the mind. Now, this is really interesting because, you know, lots of people get the idea that you really have to do something to let go of ego. But what this is really saying is, by doing nothing, you're letting go of ego. And we all know that line from A Course in Miracles. It's also in NTI, I need do nothing, right? The pain is telling you, do this, do this, do this, do this, right? By watching the pain, observing its messages, recognizing that you do not want to learn those messages, and doing nothing, that's how you let go of ego. Now, of course, that do nothing is not a lazy do nothing. It can take a lot of determination. It's a do nothing that can take a lot of effort if the ego is very, very loud. But it's not doing when the ego is screaming that you must. You must do something to change this. You must do something to prevent this. You must do something to make this happen. And instead, we sit through that emotional pain, we watch those messages, and we choose to do nothing because we do not want to learn what they are teaching. So again, Holy Spirit says, watch the thoughts that arise and remain aware that you need not accept these thoughts. in observing the thoughts that come up through the pain, without slipping into accepting the thoughts, you release many false thoughts from the mind. I love that. So just through the act of not doing what these thoughts are telling us, we let go of ego. Right? Because we're not believing ego this time. Holy Spirit continues, you take a step out of the sleeping mind and stand more clearly within wakefulness. Now, I've been through emotional pain more than once, but each time was another step, right? Another step out of the sleeping mind and more clearly into wakefulness. Every time we do not do what our emotional pain is telling us to do, we're letting go of ego a little more. You take a step out of the sleeping mind and stand more clearly within wakefulness. In this way, listen to this sentence, pain becomes a gift because it is an impetus. I'll have to look that word up. The Holy Spirit uses words I don't know. Somebody else write in for me what impetus is. In this way, pain becomes a gift because it is an impetus that flushes up thoughts you have accepted and may not have seen in the mind before. Okay, Christian's giving me the definition, a driving force. Okay, so here we go. Tell Holy Spirit when he's talking to me to use simpler language, please. Why would he use such a word with me? I don't know. But here we go. In this way, pain becomes a gift because it is a driving force. I like that better. Because it is a driving force that flushes up thoughts you have accepted and may not have seen in the mind before. So what he is telling us is when the emotional pain comes, if we choose to watch it and do nothing, like he's teaching us, we will see these disguised thoughts, and maybe sometimes not even disguised, these thoughts that say things like, I am victim, I am afraid, something is wrong with me, there is no God, I hate myself, there is only loss. We will see these thoughts like we've never seen them before, and we'll choose not to believe them. We'll choose not to take the action the emotional pain is recommending. And we're letting go of these thoughts that we were believing every single time we followed, we surrendered to, we became the slave of our emotional pain before, right? Every time we took action to avoid this or to make this happen, to change this, we were believing these thoughts. We were clinging to the ego, clinging to the ego. But if we can go through the emotional pain, not do what the ego is telling us to do, watch, we'll see these thoughts. And by not taking those actions, we're letting go of these thoughts. And that's how pain is a gift. Do you see? You know, so many of us, we judge pain as bad. Pain itself is something to be avoided. But if we use pain in the way the Holy Spirit is teaching in this message, pain becomes a gift, an opportunity to let go of the ego. And isn't that our purpose? Of course, pain is asking us to avoid pain, right? That's what pain itself is asking us to do. When pain itself tells me to change this, avoid this, make this happen, right? Pain is telling me to avoid pain. Pain is saying, if you change this, you will not have to suffer. If you avoid this, you will not have to suffer. If you can make this happen, you will not have to suffer. And as I listen to that and I, quote, avoid my suffering, I'm actually re-accepting the message of separation, which is going to bring on more suffering. I'm not really avoiding anything. But if I allow myself to experience that pain, I notice those thoughts, and I do not take the actions, I'm now letting go of ego. And that's how pain is a gift. So it's not to be avoided. You could say it's to be embraced, although I must admit, when you're going through it, you don't really feel like you're hugging it or caressing it. At least I don't. But by embraced, I mean I'm willing to practice exactly what Holy Spirit is saying in this message. I'm willing to use the opportunity that pain provides to let go of believing again those messages that I've believed so many times before. And it is true, I know from my own experience, it is true that each time we do that, we take another step out of the sleeping mind into awakening. Which is why this experience, which people often call the purification process, is only temporary. It doesn't go on and on and on and on. Because you're stepping away from the thought itself that creates pain. So eventually pain itself dies. So by avoiding pain, you hold on to pain. By allowing pain, watching what it says, and choosing not to listen to it, not to believe it, not to be its slave, you let go of pain. Again, this last paragraph. Watch the thoughts that arise and remain aware that you need not accept these thoughts. In observing the thoughts that come up through the pain, without slipping into accepting the thoughts, you release many false thoughts from the mind. You take a step out of the sleeping mind and stand more clearly within wakefulness. In this way, pain becomes a gift because it is an impetus that flushes up thoughts you have accepted and may not have seen in the mind before. Use your pain to free yourself by choosing release from the thoughts that are the basis and cause of all pain. So that is the end of that particular message. What I'm going to do is just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has anything they want to share or ask before we go on to another message. Okay, and I notice Christian has her hand up. Christian, the mic is yours.
Regina, am I allowed to have more meatballs today, please? Because I've got these spicy meatballs, basically, and Italian herbs, button mushrooms, fresh onions, fresh tomatoes, and fresh garlic. And I don't normally do cooking, and I always envy people eating lovely food. I used to have all these young male housemates, and they were always cooking proper food, and I always ate TV dinners, microwave dinners. Anyway, I went into the supermarket yesterday and I let go all judgment and I just went round flinging all these things into my basket. This is true. I had no thought in my head whatsoever of what I was doing. The ego would call it a waste of money. And everything I wanted was on offer, so I ended up with three of everything. Three packs of button mushrooms, three bottles of cooking oil, etc. And I've made this meal three times today, and I just have the strongest urge to do it again. That would be the fourth time in one day. What do you think, Regina? How do you vote on this, please? Thank you very much.
Well, I don't like to take the practice of voting on what I call specific guidance. I like to let people find and know their own guidance, because my feeling is that you can only know guidance through feeling. For example, Christian, for one person, eating those meatballs may be listening to ego, right? Maybe the person has like a food addiction. The person is always trying to avoid their pain through eating. And eating those meatballs again is listening to ego. The way you described it, I would say that's probably not the case. It sounded like more you were letting go of the belief in lack as you were just grabbing what you felt to grab. No, what were you doing? It sounds like you weren't. Yeah, yes, you were letting go of the belief in lack. Maybe your mind would have told you not to buy all of that stuff for, you know, cost reasons, or for, you know, for some people it might be calorie reasons, right? And yet you're doing it anyway. In that case, you would not be listening to the ego, right? Your emotional pain could be telling you don't spend that money, or your emotional pain could be telling you don't eat those calories. and you're feeling the guidance to do it anyway. So in that case, hell yes, eat the meatballs. So, but I'm really glad you brought that up, because that shows it's not about eating meatballs or not eating meatballs. Also, back to my example before about getting the job, it's not about taking a job or not taking a job. It's about where your fear is and where your lesson is, right? So sometimes I think we do get a little confused about form. You know, for example, we might say eating meatballs is wrong. Nobody should eat meatballs, and anybody who eats meatballs is listening to ego. But that's ridiculous. Some people need to let go of meatballs, and some people need to eat them, right? So it's about getting to know what your fears are, what your emotional pain is, and what your guidance is. And it's about learning to follow your guidance, even though your emotional pain is screaming, don't, right? Your emotional pain could still be screaming while you're walking through the supermarket, don't buy that. Or your emotional pain could still be screaming while you're eating the meatballs, my God, you're going to get so fat. But if your guidance is to watch that emotional pain and buy and eat the meatballs anyway, well then do. Yeah, you've never had meatballs before? Well, eat meatballs. She's 45 and she's never had meatballs before. Obviously, they're not an addiction. But yeah, it's up to you to know your guidance. So I don't like to give people specific guidance. And the reason I don't like to give people specific guidance is I can't know what that underlying feeling is. Sometimes when they really describe their mind to me really well, I can have a general feeling of what might be most helpful. But it's always up to the individual to know themselves. Also, to be honest, not all of us may feel ready to follow our guidance right now. And that's okay too. You know, we may have guidance that tells us to eat the meatballs. And we may still feel a lot of fear about eating meatballs for whatever reason. Again, maybe we think they make us fat, and we have a lot of strong unworthiness and we're very afraid of getting fat. You know, Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles that if the resistance is too strong, you know, not to push yourself. That's not exactly the language he uses, but that's the idea. If the resistance is too strong, not to push yourself. So, you know, I totally agree with that. I agree with being gentle. Now, being gentle doesn't always feel gentle. For example, when I chose not to work, when I was being guided not to, there was a lot of fear. So I didn't feel like I was taking a bubble bath with candles, and you know, I felt more like I was, you know, walking through the valley of death. But I was being gentle with myself because it's what I really, really wanted, and I knew I really wanted it. I knew I wanted to take that walk through the valley of death. It was time for me. It may not be time for everyone that's in the room right now. It may be more gentle for them not to eat the meatballs if they're emotional pain is telling them not to, because the resistance is still strong. If that is the case, though, there is still something you can do that is helpful. If you feel that you must listen to your emotional pain because you're not strong enough to make the choice not to, right? Then what you do as you listen to your emotional pain is you just say this: I recognize I'm listening to my emotional pain. I'm listening to my fear. I know that goes against my purpose. I give my willingness to be stronger, or I give my willingness to be more ready, or I give my willingness not to listen to the pain. And what happens as you do that is you actually build up your willingness. Remember, we said emotional pain has a natural, not really a natural, it's a habitual strong willingness. There's a strong willingness that comes from habit to listen to your emotional pain. So it also takes a strong willingness to not listen. And if that strong willingness has not yet been built up, then you want to go through the process of building it. So even though you may still be following the advice of your emotional pain, if you're recognizing what you're doing and giving your willingness not to do that, you'll start building up that willingness. You'll build up that willingness, and eventually you'll be faced with a situation and you will know, and I highlight the word know, you will know that you actually want to go through the pain more than you want to avoid it. You'll know that you want to go through this process of letting go of ego more than you want to try and fix this or change this, or and then it's time, right? Then it's time. So two important points that kind of came out of that, Christian. Thank you very much. One is not everyone's guidance is the same. So let's not get form, you know, confused with guidance. Some people may be guided to eat the meatballs. Some people may be guided not to eat the meatballs, right? Let's not judge form. Secondly, you have to know when you're ready, and there's no shame or guilt in that. Jesus himself tells you that if the resistance is too strong, you know, come back another day, whatever language he uses. But just recognize what's going on in honesty and give your willingness for that will inside of you to build up. All right, anybody else have anything they want to say about the message that we just now read or the discussion that we're having? I'm laughing at Christian. She says she had to pour the ice cream down the sink because she bought so much meat, right? She needed room in the freezer. We just reorganized our freezer today so we can make room for Danielle and her gluten-free items. And I threw some things away too. Things I thought, this isn't that important, and we need to make room in the freezer. So things that have been in there for a while that I thought we wouldn't miss, I tossed out. Christian, I'm turning the mic back over to you.
I'm greedy. I can take the microphone twice here on Monday. I'm in Regina's class too. Well, I don't know if you want to get a technical, you know, meat on the bone out of this, Regina, technical point. But the truth is, I've always eaten a lot of sweet things because at one stage I was bulimic and anorexic and whatever and weight-obsessed. And I'm talking about 30 years ago, guys. I don't need advice on how to get rid of that idea. But and so the way I cured myself was to eat whatever I wanted. That's not true, that there's a level of judgment that dropped away yesterday that was another level altogether. But so rather than trying to restrict my eating in any way, I ate whatever I wanted. But over the years, there was an emphasis on sweet things because I had deprived myself of them whilst attempting weight control. And what was just coming to my mind is there can become a sort of judgment for something that becomes very rigid. So I can have the sweet things. I'm not a person who thinks about food, by the way. This is all quite sort of subtle. But I can have the sweet things and therefore end up with so much sweet stuff in the cupboard. I've been feeling for some years, actually. I'd look at other people when I was in house shares thinking, oh, they're eating nice composite meat dishes, as we would call them in the catering trade, which I originally trained in, believe it or not. And here I am, and I've got packets of biscuits, and I've got toffees, and I've got chocolates. As if there was a sort of judgment for something, which is still kind of negative judgment, because it becomes a bit rigid. And the dropping of judgment, for me yesterday, resulted in no forethought at all, no thought about buying things in the supermarket. I went to the supermarket to get milk or something and just found myself throwing all these other things in the basket just because I felt like it. It was just the idea of if you judge something as good for you, that can become rigid as well. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. In fact, I would say that that's a very common error. You know, in America and possibly in, you know, England as well, and in other developed countries where we have money and we can buy whatever we want, we get ideas about food. We get ideas about this kind of food is a good food, this kind of food is a bad food. And we know these ideas aren't true because our ideas aren't the same, right? Some people may think low-fat foods are good. Other people may think it has to do with carbohydrates. Other people think it has to do with how close it is to nature. You know, how much processing it has. Other people may think it has to do with whether it's organic or not. And these are all just ideas. And they are ideas that still teach that we are separate. You know, I think that going to the supermarket and just allowing yourself to intuitively, without thought, grab and then cook and eat, can be a very healthy practice. I know I went through that myself. I went through that myself because I was very caught up on counting calories and fat at one time. I don't do that anymore. I just don't do that anymore. You know, I grab what I feel to grab. I think probably what I pay more attention to when it comes to eating, and this feels very right, is how much I eat. You can tell when you eat too much, because when you eat too much, you're actually uncomfortable afterwards, right? You know that you ate too much. So learning to eat the just right amount, I don't worry at all about whether it's organic or processed or natural or fat or carbohydrates. And I actually think I have a very natural, well-rounded diet. So I call it intuitive eating. There's an intuitive eating, knowing when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, without all the thinking, and it seems to work quite well. I feel like I've not had a food addiction now for at least a few years. I used to be very addicted, just like so many other people. You know, if there was sweets in the house, they would just seemed to be in the cabinet screaming my name until I ran in there and ate everything. You know, I had to eat it to get rid of it so it would quit torturing me, right? You guys, some of you guys probably know what I'm talking about. Now I can have sweets all over the house and they stay until I feel to have a little. You know, it doesn't bother me that there's ice cream in the freezer, cookies in the cabinet. It's not a problem. It used to be a problem, right? So the food addiction is gone, and the food addiction came from the process you just described, Christian, the process of eating intuitively, letting go of all the learned rules about what is good and what is bad food. All of those rules are judgment. And again, it can take a great willingness to not listen to your pain, right? So if you feel like you aren't ready to not listen to your pain, if your pain is saying avoid this or change this and you feel like you have to, go ahead, right? Really, go ahead. But recognize what you're doing and give your willingness to build up more willingness, stronger willingness, so that one day you will be at that point, you'll be ready, and you will know that this time you want to do it differently. This time you do not want to listen to your pain. Instead, you want to go through the pain, or as Jesus would say, through the darkness to the light. Okay, that's it for me. Danielle and Jasmine were upstairs cooking for me. Taco salad we are having tonight. By the way, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. For those of you that didn't hear that news, I was guided in early June, very spontaneously, to let go of being a vegetarian. It happened when I was setting the dinner table one night. I was I put knives for the people who have to cut meat. Normally I don't give myself a knife, but that night I felt very clearly, give myself a knife. I was going to begin eating meat again. So it's kind of interesting. It's about a year, almost exactly a year, after I was guided to go vegetarian. So I'm going to go have some taco salad. I'm enjoying eating meat again. All right. Bye.